grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and ever henceforth. Amen. I guess they didn't all go to the convention. Good full house this morning. I'm surprised that there's that many. I thought they'd all be fishing or out to the convention or something, and the old man would have to come up here and talk to a handful. But no, I'm thankful for all the people that have come to hear the word. And I'm thankful for the iPads that we have. We've listened to most of the sermons at the convention. I don't know how many of you have been doing that, but you can pick them up on your iPad. So we've heard many of the sermons with my wife, and they've been very, very enlightening, very good, powerful sermons that have been preached there. There's a couple of them that we missed because of our other things that had to be taken care of at home. But with that then, we're just going to turn to the book of Ezekiel, the Old Testament, and we're going to hear something very repetitive, but all of this repetition leads to one thought, and that great thought is that they all will know that God is God, so that we will know that God is God. So if you turn to the 36th chapter of Israel, of Ezekiel, I'm going to start reading from verse 21, and I'll read quite a few verses there. But this is the kind of the conclusion of all of this, that I am God, and that you will know that I am God. But we're going to go back to chapter 33 and start the entire dialogue from there as to why the Lord would say that we would know that I am God. And of course, we know that just because it was written in the Old Testament time doesn't mean that it leaves there. It applies to us. Every word in this Bible applies to us every single day of our lives. And that's why I say every single day, because Christianity is not a Sunday morning thing. It's every day. Otherwise, it's useless. So with that, I read in Jesus' name, Ezekiel 36, verse 21. But had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will you bring into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall be my judgment, keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for corn and will increase it and lay no famine on the land. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day I shall have cleansed you from all of your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the ways shall be builded. Amen. If you notice, there was one other thought. He said there that you will know that I am the Lord. But then He says, I will. I will. Now, if we're going to turn back, all of this starts already in the 34th chapter when he starts speaking there about the servants of God and what they are doing. We'll find that back in the Old Testament time, if we look at the kingship, the judgeships, and we see all that history, it's up and down. I call it the yo-yo effect. That either we are walking with the Lord or we are turning away from the Lord. And we can see the problems. They were already within the priesthood, that the priests were not faithful. And as we look into today, we can compare all of this to today's life. That how do we compare to these people, and what is the effect of all of this life and living with or without God? But it tells us in the beginning of verse chapter 34 that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherd, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, and should not the shepherds feed the flocks. You see, the problem is no different than it was and is in the world today. They are self-centered. They are looking for something, the I-itis effect, as I call it. That I, what can I receive? And you'll notice here that they were only concerned about themselves, just as we saw that as Jesus and he spoke in the New Testament, even the pharisaical effect. It was the I-itis. I, what can I receive? What have I done? You know, it's all I instead of what we should be doing as far as serving God. And here these are the shepherds that he's talking to that should be serving the flock. And he said that you eat fat and you clothe you with wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. And the disease have ye not strengthened, neither have you healed that which is sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. So we can see the heart of the shepherds in that day even, that how there was just self-centeredness, no concern for the flock that they were entrusted with. And we know he uses the word shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, as we see in the 23rd Psalm. We know that he is the shepherd of the flock. And a shepherd, we know it's kind of a lowly occupation, but nevertheless, it is one of the most, shall we say, object or professions that calls for most devotion. These shepherds stayed with their flock in the fields day and night. They brought them into the sheepfold for the night and then brought them out. There was so much concern for the flock. But here also he likens that natural to the spiritual shepherds of the day, that they were not feeding that flock. They were more concerned with themselves. There was the disease and there was the sick. There were those that were, then you have not lost, sought the lost. Jesus spoke about the shepherd that lost his sheep. And he left the whole flock to go and find that one sheep. But here we can see that when we have shepherds today that are more concerned about their own popularity rather than caring for the flock of God that they have been entrusted with. But then we're going to go into, we see that the Lord is going to speak to them, but he's going to restore them. We're going to see that the Lord is going to show both sides. He's going to show how disappointment against that which is wrong, but he is also going to show what he is going to do to correct that. You're going to hear the word, I will, over and over again in the 34th chapter, 35th chapter, and we saw in the 36th chapter where I read for our text, I will. What God is going to be able to do. We know here, we saw how the shepherds have neglected the flock. But what is God going to do to that flock that is his flock, actually? So if we'll Turn and look into verse 12 of the 34th chapter if you have your Bibles open. As the shepherd seeketh out the flock in the day that he is among his sheep that were scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring their own land and feed them among the mountains, upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. There we can see both sides, that God does not tolerate unbelief and the works of unbelief and of sin. And we can see what God is going to do. First, we know that God shows his love here, didn't he? We saw that the shepherds and were not taking care of the flock. The flock was being scattered, but yet God loved them. And you heard all the I wills that I am going to do to bring them back. And God is doing the very same thing, even with us today, that we, because of our nature of sin, we have a tendency to scatter rather than to gather. But God in his love is going to gather, as we heard here, bring them all back. And then he's going to make judgment between the good and the evil. He called it the fat cattle in verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. And then he said, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. I will judge between the cattle and the cattle, and I will shed up. And then he made a promise, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. You notice there, again, that he is promising us a shepherd, a true shepherd. We know that these were shepherds that were priests chosen from the tribe of Levi, but their shepherdship only lasted the length of their personal life. But the shepherd that he promises here to them is Jesus Christ, as we see here, that he refers to, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my shepherd David. And we see that reference of David being used oftentimes, and Jacob as being referring to Jesus Christ, that I will set that shepherd up, and that I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them, and I, the Lord, have spoken it. So there again, God wants to show us his love. He extends it there, and he demonstrates it with the Israel, even if they were scattered, you know, amongst all the people, as we heard there, that they were scattered, but he will gather them. I will gather them. This is all the work of the Lord. Yes, we, as God's children and Christian church, are used of God for the purpose of reconciliation, bringing the flock back as shepherds. We're all shepherds. Just because I'm a pastor and serving the flock for many years does not isolate me as the one. Every member that is filled with the Holy Spirit in every congregation is a shepherd. You are just as much shepherd as we who stand in the pulpit. You have just as much authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to call people onto repentance, to receive the remission of sin and the reconciliation back into the flock of God. So this, the Lord says, I will. God, it will. He'll do that because he loves us, and he is the one that is going to do all of this in our behalf. Then we're going to chapter 35, and we're going to see an example of what God is going to do to those that turn away from him. I'm going to read a few verses from the chapter 35 and verse 3. And say unto it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee. I will stretch out my hand against thee. I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Now again, because they have turned away, we can see that God is going to allow desolation, as he tells us, to come upon them. But why? So that they will know that he is God. In other words, God is going to use this form of allowing certain things to come upon the unbeliever so that as a result they would recognize their sin and their evil, and they will be able then to turn back and come back unto God. That God has to work in different ways in order to call people back. But they have to be awakened, and they are going to be awakened by these things happening to them. He said, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will pair unto thee the blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Thee which hath not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. I have a misspelled word here, and I got stuck on that word in my Bible. And he said, I will make Mount Seir most desolate, cut them off from him, and passeth out to him that returneth, and I will fill his mountains with slain men. In the hills and in the valleys and in all the rivers shall they fall. They are slain with the sword. I will make thee perpetual desolation, and thy cities shall know and not return, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You notice I mentioned at the beginning, we will know that he is Lord. Now we saw a moment ago, the shepherds were straying away. But what was God going to do? He was going to straighten them out by showing to them the truth. I will. To show his love to them. And where they have failed, he still loves them. Here, he is showing what he's going to do. Now with Mount Seir, they have abandoned him. But yet he's going to allow these things to come so that they will be awakened to the knowledge of their sin, so that they will be able to come back on to the people. It says, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of hatred against them. I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. Now he's using again the believers as an example unto the ones that have fallen to bring about reconciliation. So we are God's instruments. If we lead a righteous and a holy life, we become a light unto the world. The world is able to see the blessing that has come. I look at even our country in its natural sense, America, that how God blessed our country because the country walked with God. Its foundation was based on Christianity. And people saw this, and people flocked from all over the world to come to here so that they could worship in peace and they could live in peace in America. Now we know that there is a turning away. And if America would only look at this history in the Bible, they would immediately repent and come back to the truth. Because we can see what happened when they turned away. God allowed desolation to come and hardships to come in these countries. But yet God never forsakes them. He continues to love them. He continues to hold them in the arms of grace and shows his love through his own people. The last verse in chapter 35 says that as thou didst rejoice in the heritage, didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel because it was desolate, so will I do to thee. Thou shalt be desolate, Mount Seir, and all of Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God forsakes them, but again for the purpose of awakening, to bring them back, that they will know that he is God. We go into verse chapter 36. Verse 6. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy, in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches, and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they that are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you. I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, and the house of Israel, and all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the way shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you, you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring forth. And I will settle you after your old estate, and will do better unto you than you're in the beginning. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Remember, this is God's promise. I still love you. I will do all of this for you because I love you. And we do know that he made the prime sacrifice in our stead on the cross of Calvary. He took all of our sin. He took all of these sins, and he took them all to the cross of Calvary. And he made atonement for them. I will, he says to all the world at that time. He says that to us today. I will. I will take all of your sins, and I did take your sins to the cross already, and I have died for them. All this because there is a God of love. But he continues again to remind them as we go a little further in chapter 36. He speaks of them forsaking him. And he comes at the beginning of the text that I read. Then he said, why did he do what he has done? He says, but I had pity for my holy name. That is why he is saying over and over again that they will know that I am God. I had pity for my holy name. And we'll see then what he tells us, why he did this, which the house of Israel hath profaned against the heathen whither they went. And therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. So there again, he allowed the children of Israel also to be blessed, so that the other people could be blessed as a result of them, Israel, knowing that I am God, and that all these heathen people will come to know that I am the Lord. And that's what God is continually doing throughout time and throughout history. He is showing his love, even though the world has turned against him. And we can hear and see more and more of that each and every day as we look at the news. But yet God still wants us as a Christian body of believers to be a light, so that we can, as heathens, you might say, show to those people that out there in the world that that God still loves them. God wants them to know that he loves them, but he wants his name to be glorified. We noticed in the very beginning, he spoke about the shepherds that did not glorify the name of God. He wants us to glorify his name, because that's the only name by which we can be saved. The only name that the world has been created by. The only one that has provided for everything that we have today that we live by. Everything has come from God. He wants us to know, he wants the world to know that I am God. Yet we know that he faces the same thing today as he was facing back then. That people were turning away from worshiping God. But yet God's love never fails. God continues to hold us and uphold us in his heart of love. And that's why he said that his name is going to be glorified, and that all will know that I am God. Continuing, he says that I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the Israel, or among heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, So he speaks again that even the Israelites have profaned his name amongst the heathen. They had lived ungodly lives, and we can see that happening even today. And he said, then heaven shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall sanctify in you before their eyes. Now he is going to show his grace to us before the whole world. And those of us that believe and repent and walk with him will become an example unto the world. We are the light of the world, even as Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But he has established us as a Christian body to be the light of the world. And then he says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into their own land. So he's speaking about the Jewish return, but he is also speaking to us who have wandered out into the wilderness of sin to bring us back into this pathway that leads onto our eternal home in heaven as the children of God, that we have to return. He said, I will take you from among the heathen, from among the world, and I will establish you as my children and bring you into your own land, which is in walking with Jesus Christ on the pathway that leads to our home in heaven. And then how is he going to do this? I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will cleanse you. So we are going to be cleansed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. The sprinkling, we know that the Word is the water of God, and Jesus Christ himself, he's the water of God. But he will, all of this gospel, you might say, everything about Jesus is the gospel. You know, sometimes we want to limit it to preaching forgiveness of sin. Everything about Jesus is gospel. Good news that comes from here. And he said, I will clean you, sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. That is the promise that God made back then, fulfilling it on the cross of Calvary, so that you and I today here in the 21st century can believe on this finished work of Jesus Christ, be cleansed in that precious fountain that was created there, that fountain of blood that washes away all of our sin. But the word that we hear is also the water that he is using to spread this word and to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he said, I will cleanse you from all your idols. I will cleanse you. He said, we're all. He doesn't forgive us piecemeal. When we come to Jesus Christ, we lay everything on the altar. And when he blesses us with the forgiveness, he blesses everything forgiven. Not just, well, if we have specific signs, one at a time, but basically everything is forgiven when we come with that broken heart and a contrite spirit. I know I realize this, having been in the pulpit for all these years, and how many times have I seen people for the last 53 years come to the altar and they want their sins forgiven before they partake of the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ. And when we as the pastors serving there, we can assure them that every sin, every doubt is forgiven in the name of blood of Jesus Christ. Not piecemeal, all. Everything is forgiven. And that's what he tells us here, and he promises to these Israelites that they are going to be called in from the land of the heathen, we from the land of sin and unbelief, into that marvelous fellowship that we can have with the Father and with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Then he said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take the stony heart of your out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. So now there's a dramatic change, a new heart. We become a new creature. Now instead of walking in the paths of destruction and that leads to the curse, we are now on a narrow road that leads to paradise. We are on our way to heaven, but we have a new spirit. We know that when John the Baptist was there and Jesus was there, John said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one that will baptize you with the Spirit. And that's the one that we want to be baptized with, the Spirit. Not that we are not believing water baptism at all. Water baptism is a sacrament that was instituted by the Lord himself. But now the new Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you all have the Holy Spirit. Every one of you that has repented and believed has the Holy Spirit God has given this to you, and that he will take away that stony heart, that hardened, calloused, sinful heart. He will give us a new heart, a new mind, a mind that wants to follow and walk with Jesus Christ on this narrow road. Because we know that when we walk with him on the narrow road, the conclusion of that road is in heaven. That's where Jesus went. We're following his footsteps, and that he has prepared a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I prepare the way. That way is prepared, and we are now walking that narrow road that leads that way. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now again, we walk in his statutes. You know, if we look at the 119th Psalm, we see that word statutes in each one of those eight sections that are in that 119th Psalm. But we are walking there not out of compulsion. We are walking there because we would love to please, honor his name. That is why we walk in the statutes of God, being obedient unto his commandments, because we will want to honor his name. Not because we are being compelled. If we're being compelled, it becomes a work. But if we do it because we love God, then it is a virtue. And it is what God wants us to. That's a spirit that God wants to, and a heart that God wants us to serve him, because we would love to, not because we have to. And I cause you to walk in my statutes, and shall keep my judgments and do them. Then he says, you shall dwell in the land that I have gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Remember now, we start talking that we will know that he is the Lord. Now he tells us we do know that he is the Lord because we have believed in him. We have believed in all that he has done in creation, in life, and in preparing for eternity, and calling us his children. He calls us his children. So we are the children of God, and that we are going to be able to dwell with him one day, and we will see him face to face. The essence of life, I have repeated this time and time again over the years, the essence of life is in preparation for eternity. To see this God face to face. That's what our whole life is about. Oh yeah, we think about families, we think about this, we got to do all this, all that. But the essence of life, when you put it all together, is preparing for Christ's second coming. Are we going to be ready to receive the welcome home? So he is going to cleanse us from all uncleanness, as he tells us, that I will also save you from all uncleanness, and will call you, and will call for corn and so forth. He will take care of all of these things as long as we are his children. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. He will be with us and care for us all the days of our lives. And the last line in that 36th chapter says, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is the point I want to impress upon our hearts, that we shall know that he is Lord, my Lord, my God, my Savior, my all in all, and that we can come to him boldly onto the throne of grace to find help in the time of need, as Paul has written. So I can't encourage you enough to know that I will. God is doing everything and all of these for us so that we can say, I know that he is Lord. I believe in him. Oh, I pray that everyone here today would be able to make that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we know that if we have that confession, we will hear those most blessed words when Jesus Christ comes again. Come, blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Again, I'm going to repeat that last line in the Bible. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Tonight in the benediction, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.